Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials. In this week's episode of the ACT podcast, in recognition of Women's Health Month, we're featuring this recent talk between associate editor Miranda Schmalfus and UMotif's chief product officer, Julia Lakeland. They discuss new technologies improving patient engagement and reducing the emotional and logistical burdens of participation, ethical considerations that should be addressed when implementing those technologies while ensuring patient privacy, and much more. Let's take a listen in.
So, Julia, considering the potential benefits and burdens experienced by patients in clinical trials, something you have firsthand experience with, what kinds of technologies can be developed to improve patient engagement and reduce the emotional and logistical burdens of participation while still maintaining data integrity and validity?
Miranda, that's a great question. And I think in today's day and age, it is even more important than ever before that we put the voice of the patient and the experiences of the patient at the center of what we're doing. And like you said, I do often talk firsthand about my own experience as a parent and a carer for my daughter, who I openly say is type 1 diabetic. But actually, when you look at the industry that we are part of and the purpose of why we're here, clearly we want to develop new medicines and new technologies that improve health, improve well-being. And in order for us to do that, we have to have the data. So the data has to be scientifically and clinically meaningful. There's very little, there's no dispute there. But the data is only as good enough as what data you are able to capture. So therefore, engagement and having a high level of interactions with the participant or the patient is absolutely paramount. So when I always say, when we're looking at developing new technology, be that, you know, a new study, a new study protocol, an eCOA system, whatever the tech is, a sensor, a wearable, for example, putting the patient's experience at the forefront of your design and development process is really, really important. And actually understanding and minimizing the burden that the patient goes through is key. Because whatever solution is presented has to be easy to use. And it also has to benefit the patient and the patient's caregiver, for example. And over the last 10 years, I have used a plethora. My daughter and I, we've used so many different CGMs, insulin pumps, pens, you know, and some of them, they will always capture reliable data. There's no disputing that. The validation and the verification of the data is always there. But actually, we have noticed that the experience for the patient varies. It varies considerably. And so understanding that the technology has to be easy to use, and being easy to use has a different connotation associated depending upon who the user is. You know, if you're a young patient, if you're an elderly patient, you're going to have very different requirements and expectations about how the technology works. But ultimately, I think when we think about how we are designing the technology and what kind of technologies are available to improve engagement specifically, whilst minimizing all of the day-to-day burden that comes with it, we absolutely have to have a deep understanding and a deep empathy about the challenges that patient faces every single day in living with their condition. And once we've understood those problems and actually working with patient advocacy groups, just speaking with general population and having that level of empathy, you can understand that problem, work to improve the situation, and actually in addressing the problem, engagement increases by nature. So it always sounds quite easy to kind of say, oh, let's put the patient first. But you do have to then work within the boundaries of what the technology can do. And sometimes technology can't fix everything, you know. So you have to recognize that there is an individual element and accept sometimes the boundaries of what technologies can and cannot deliver. But that said, when you look at the world that we're part of, and again, I talked firsthand about CGMs and insulin pumps and devices, mobile phone devices, as an individual, when I look at the life my daughter has now compared to 10 years ago, and the independence she has, and the granularity of the data and her lifestyle and everything that scientifically supports improvement in her overall well-being, that's then when I go, this is absolutely amazing. Because, you know, we're on a journey. Things are never perfect. No, we are human after all. But collectively, as a community, this is what we do. We work to make life better. We work to improve things. And ultimately, putting the patient right at the front, understanding and empathizing with them, that brings about the rewards. And of course, you know, then obviously just looping that back, as I said, data is only as good as the data that you can capture. So I think really for me, having that understanding of the patient's experiences, capturing that data, making sure that life is easy to work with, and then on the back end within the system, capturing that data, validating that data, and making sure that it is suitable for clinical research purposes, that end-to-end spectrum is really what we're targeting.
How are you leveraging your background in digitalization and logistics in the development of new technologies to enhance communication and transparency between patients and researchers throughout the clinical trial process, but still fostering trust and informed decision-making?
So my background, I've been in clinical research since about 1999, so what, coming up 25 years, and I have always been in and around different clinical systems and logistics systems. And then in 2018, I think I pivoted more towards the digital world. And one thing that constantly comes out throughout the whole of my journey here is that you have to have trust and you have to have informed decision making within the entire cycle, regardless of where you are within the element of science and clinical research. So putting the level of communication at the forefront is so important. But then when you look at how the world, the digital world, has changed since, like, say, 1999 through to now, and the speed also with which it's changing, and some of those life events that we've all come through, I mean, I'm sure everybody remembers COVID back in 2020. It almost, COVID forced a certain situation upon us. And within the world of decentralized trials, we pivoted very quickly as an industry to make sure that remote patient monitoring was put in place, and the use of wearables and remote visits, all of those bits, all of those components started to come to the forefront. And that was, like I said, that was a situation that was forced upon us. But actually, having now been through that and you reflect, I do think that actually having a one-size-fits-all is simply not feasible. And I talk a lot about the empathy with the patient as well as the protocol design. And I always do that very deliberately, because you can't have one without the other. And in order for one bit to work, you have a dependency on the other part. And so having flexibility within your digital health technology, for example, that really allows you to maximize how you are engaging and how you're communicating with the patient. And actually, it then starts to add in a personal touch. So there are various flexibilities to how content within an app is rendered, it is surfaced. There are various considerations about making sure that is the right open channel available? Do patients feel supported? Do they have the right information available at their fingertips? And is it easy to access? Is it easily accessible? And also then just acknowledging that not every patient is the same. Like I say, we are all human. And in us being human, we're all individual. So what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for somebody else. And therefore, developing a communication plan within the study protocol and within the study design, that really, which is based around the needs of the patient, to me, that's really important. And we can't, you know, we increasingly have busy lifestyles. Everybody is crazy busy, but it's that balance. So what we have within digital trials now is that you have that flexibility to include a wearable and have remote monitoring and information at your fingertips within your device. But you also have telehealth and you have remote data capture, whereby you can bridge those two worlds together so that you can still have that element of trust and flexibility between the patient and the caregiver, or the physician rather. And you are also then able to capture the value of the data whilst ensuring people are well-educated and well-informed rather around what they need to do and when and how they interact. So for me, I think the digital world is bringing about the best of both events. It's given us flexibility to adapt around the lifestyle of the patient whilst also ensuring that that trust and that relationship between the physician and the doctor is well-maintained and is non-negotiable.
How can new technologies personalize the clinical trial experience for diverse patient populations, considering factors like age, access to resources, and cultural needs, while ensuring inclusivity and equitable access to participation?
Great question. And increasingly, regulators are requiring more diverse trials. You know, when you look at some of the statistics around who typically participates in a clinical trial, there's an imbalance there. So we have to make sure as an industry that we are making clinical research and clinical trials open and accessible to everybody. And there's a whole host of financial barriers associated with trial inclusion, but actually some of the more common reasons that patients cite around trial participation and dropout rates, and the dropout rate in the trial is overwhelming. But they include things like, you know, inconvenience, time commitments, poor communication, a feeling of being underappreciated. And a lot of that, you know, you need to kind of learn from that around how can we have a personal route so that we can appeal to different patient populations. And patients are naturally experts in their disease journey. They live with this condition day in and day out. And supporting digital health technologies, all of that certainly leads the way to improving diversity, but there are also some practical considerations, not just from the technology side of things, but from an actual logistical side of things as well. So is the local infrastructure, if you look at a global phase 3 trial, for example, and you're going to want it in multiple countries, multiple locations, you know, if you go down the route of a digital trial with remote visits and remote data capture, is the local infrastructure there to support that trial? So there are practical considerations around the actual infrastructure, for example, within each country, but there are also very more specific things around the actual patient population to take into account. So, for example, font size and various device controls, the size of the screen. If a wearable is being selected, is the sensor, is it determined that it is easy to use by that patient population? Has there been some kind of verification and validation study to ensure that we have that understanding that the sensor is suitable and is practical and is fit for purpose? So there is an awful lot to think about. And I think when I look at how we render a clinical outcome assessment, a patient-reported outcome, to different patient populations, having the flexibility within the configuration of the app design so that you can cater to the needs of each different diverse patient group That's really important. And I'm, you know, I've kind of touched on the size of the font, the colors, the contrast, but also the difference in language. You can't underestimate how important language and what a barrier that can be. So I think cross-culturally, we simply need to understand a lot more and be more responsive to the different perceptions that the individuals have around clinical research and how they choose to interact with the technology and make sure that that is therefore tailored towards their expectations, because it's their data that they are giving for research. And I think we need to be supporting that.
What ethical considerations need to be addressed when developing and implementing new technologies for collecting and analyzing patient data in clinical trials, while still making sure to ensure patient privacy, data security, and informed consent?
Oh, there's so much. There is an awful lot to think about. So within the world of devices and apps today, and I'm kind of talking obviously wearables and sensors, but also mobile devices as well for remote data capture. And I touched on it earlier, you know, looking at the flexibility and the configurability so that content can be delivered in an individualized manner, in a personalized manner to each patient, so that their unique requirements, for example, their language preferences, anything which is culturally specific terminology, all of that can be tailored. And I think there's other ways of communicating. It doesn't just have to be through words. There can be visual diagrams and cues, videos, text, speech, making sure that, you know, the additional information that the participants may want, you know, that's going to help them within their trial participation, making that experience more meaningful and more useful to them and more personal with regards to the feedback and the interactions that the patient has with the device. All of those really start to make sure that the data that we are collecting and therefore will be analyzed within the clinical trial, that then ensures that you're going to have a good compliance and good levels of data being captured. And therefore, literally, what the value of the data that you put in matches the value of the data that you get out. If you have good data going in, you're going to have good data coming out. But I do think that, you know, some of the other ethical considerations that we want to be considering, and I touched on it very briefly earlier when I said about financial considerations and local infrastructure, but you want to make sure that respondents actually have access to the technology. And we have to appreciate that not everybody does. You know, not everybody has the new smartphone. Not everybody has a smartphone, for example. Therefore, what you want to be able to do is make sure that you offer within your study boundary, you have bring your own device, which is super friendly, gets natural high levels of engagement because it's the device that somebody is familiar with in comparison. And you need to tailor that to make sure that you have provisioned devices as well, so that if somebody doesn't have or for some reason they don't choose to use their own device, they aren't negatively impacted and the study is still accessible and available to them. So again, just making sure that you're really factoring in both accountabilities there. You know, you have flexibility, but you have the personal element as well. And obviously that then comes around, you know, you could expand that to be looking at when certain notifications are sent and reminders. So making sure that your digital health technology is easy to use, making sure that that has been demonstrated, preferably by the patient population, that, you know, they have that understanding. And of course, making sure that, you know, the data flow is reliable, is accurate, is regulatory compliant. All of those components certainly come together to ensure that we're instilling trust and accuracy within the data that we're capturing.